everyone. This is Maura Meros back for another episode of A Real Page Turner with my co-host, Donnie Granza. Hi, Donnie.
Hello, Maura, and hello, listeners. Good to be back and talking about some different book and movie here.
Yeah, so we wanted to kick off February. This is, I believe, is our sixth episode. Yes, our sixth episode. And we are kicking off February with The Hate U Give in celebration of Black History Month. And a little history on Black History Month is that it was created in 1915 by Carter Woodson, and it was originally celebrated as a week. And then in 1976, President Gerald Ford, you know, expanded that to all of February for Black History Month. And we wanted to start with one of an important book, but also acknowledge the contributions of the Black community all year, and that we are committed to having a diverse reading, movie lists, and guests throughout the year, so that we are highlighting many voices in the artistic and writing community.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Great. So I'm excited about this book, and I know it is on a lot of the school reading list, and it's also on the list of banned books because of strong language and topic like racism and police brutality and bias. The book, The Hate U Give, was written by Angie Thomas in 2017. She has her BFA from Belhaven University and was the first Black teenager to graduate from her creative writing program. She originally wrote it as a short story and then expanded it based on the Black Lives Matter movement with the deaths of Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, and Sandra Bland. So she took that short story and expanded upon it, which made it into The Hate U Give. So can you tell us a little bit about the movie?
Yeah, so the movie, so the book was adapted into a film not too long after. I believe like it was even like announced before the book was actually published. And so it was directed by George Tillman Jr. It was written by Audrey Wells, who unfortunately never got to see this one be released. She literally passed away the day before its release in 2018. It stars Amanda Stenberg, Regina Hall, Russell Hornsby, Common, and Anthony Mackie, among many others in the cast. So it debuted to a big critical acclaim, with many critics praising it as one of the best films of the year and praising the performances and writing and directing all around.
It received the Coretta Scott King Award and the Michael L. Prince Award for Excellence in Young Adult Literature. And I think it's interesting that it's on a banned book list, because I know it's on my kids' school reading list. So I know it's not banned at my school, which is great, because I know this is on one of the summer reading lists for the kids in the high school at my local district.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because it's not, both the book and the movie, they're not feel-good stories. It's very raw and deals with some, tense subject matter that, so yeah, it's not, like, not for the faint of heart, I guess, but it, is very important, and it's important to have discussions like these and have issues like these highlighted for readers and viewers.
There is some language in the book and the movie. So when we talk about what The Hate U Give stands for, you may experience some language today, which we generally don't do on our podcast, but I think it's important to say that. But I really enjoyed the book. I really thought it was, eye-opening and great, and really a different perspective that we usually read and see things, but I really did like it. And I liked the movie. I saw the movie. I caught it on TV, and then I paused it and went back and wanted to finish reading the book. Actually, I flipped off between the two. I apologize, because the book was long. So I went back and I read the book, then I watched the movie, and then I finished the book. And there were definitely some very stark differences, I thought, between the book and the movie. And for me, I'm just going to put it up there up front. The book for me far surpassed this movie, I think, in just character development and general message and theme. But I really did quite like the
yeah, I did enjoy both, and the book I really enjoyed. I think, it was, I don't want to say like it was an easy read, because obviously with the subject matter about someone who gets killed and the protests and everything that happens, it's a big so it's not, it's a heavy read about heavy subject matter, but it was very easy to follow, and you really they took you into this world and this community, and start the world and the personal world with the lead character of Star, and how her life is affected in these series of events here.
Yeah, the character Devante in the book was trying to escape the gangs and Mav is trying to help him out, you know, and he's fearing for his life. You know, he doesn't exist in the movie. They took that whole character line out, that whole subplot out of him trying to get out of the gang. And I liked him in the movie, in the book, because I thought he was... It showed how Mav, his character developed from being in the gang to getting out of the gang and his commitment to taking the other young men out of the gang. And we didn't see that. And I think one of my other kind of, if I have to say, gripes with the movie is that I don't think you saw Mav develop in the movie like you did in the book, right? Like, I felt like in the movie, he and King kind of seemed a little bit still friendly, right? Like, there was a chilliness, but they were a little bit still friendly, where in the book, they were not friendly at all. You know, they were definitely not on good terms. And I thought the movie kind of led you to believe that they were a little bit on better terms than they were. I don't know if you would agree with that.
I do think, like, you know, I did like both versions of Maverick in the, you know, in the movie. I think, you know, I think the actor Russell Hornsby, I think, did a really excellent job, had a big standout performance. So I guess, you know, I could kind of agree and see where you are, but I do think that he did show some, you know, a lot of growth in the movie and in the book as well. But yeah, it was very interesting that you mentioned about how Devante is non-existent in the movie. And I was reading about it that, like, a lot of storylines involving Devante were kind of given to Star's brother, Seven. And yeah, so he kind of became kind of like an amalgamation character there. And because I noticed there was, like, instead of Devante getting attacked in the one scene, it's Seven who gets attacked instead. So, you know, I think the movie version of Seven is a lot more developed than in the book, I think, because of that, because he's essentially playing two characters, I guess.
Yeah. And the other that I thought was really different was when Star is with Khalil in the car and they're driving, and when they get pulled over and there's, you know, first they stop, you know, there's really none of that, like, boyfriend girlfriend type of kissing scene in the book. They really are old friends. And in the movie, like, I was like, why are they kind of doing that? You know, and I thought in the book, they really don't show, like, Khalil getting too wise with the cop, and they think he is looking for his brush. I don't know. I kind of giving more of a just to the shooting, taking out the brush than they were in the book, where he's only glances in his car at the brush and he thinks he sees it in the door, but not in his actual hand. And that was, like, the main difference for me. Like, I felt like between the movie and the book in that scene was one, that relationship between Star and Khalil seemed more than just friends in the movie, which wasn't the case in the book. And, you know, when he got shot by the police officer, you know, he didn't have his brush in his hand in the book, and the cop didn't seem that upset about it and saying, where's the weapon? You know, in the book, it wasn't really like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That, and one thing, because, you know, that did kind of bother me about the movie, that because they did have Khalil lean in and kiss Star or something, and like of that, like I know in the book, like, she just, you know, I think she mentions, like, having, like, he was a childhood crush of hers, but nothing, anything more of that. That it, you know, in the movie, kind of nothing really comes of that, because obviously, like, there's a much bigger issue at hand. He gets killed, but you would think, like, the fact that they had kissed before, like, nothing ever comes of that. So I think it was kind of unnecessary. I think kind of could have been handled better, like, maybe if they didn't actually kiss, and maybe he just started to lean in for it and she said, no, sorry, I have a boyfriend, and that's everything, you know. But that does remind me of, like, Chris Star's relationship with her boyfriend Chris. I felt like I did like in the book their relationship more so in the movie. I think it kind of it seemed more fully developed, because, you know, obviously, like you've mentioned in the past, that in book, you know, movies have to kind of condense a lot, that books can expand more. But it seems like the relationship in the book was much more developed, and you saw, like, a lot of bantering back and forth between them and their common love of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and that's referenced in the book frequently, you know, whereas I believe, like, maybe only once or twice in the film, it's, you know, they, like, even mention it. So I don't know what you thought about that.
He seems a little more jealous in the movie. Like, he was talking about her standing him up, and he wanted to take her out and wanted to go to her house. You know, you never got that in the book, you know, because I think they left the whole storyline of Uncle Carlos actually living in the suburbs and being pretty affluent out of the movie, right? Like, in the book, Uncle Carlos is married to a surgeon. They live in a very affluent place, and they starred her mother and brothers spend a lot of time there. And the mother wants to move to Garden Heights. I mean, move out of Garden Heights to the suburbs because she feels it's safer. So you don't really get any of that in the movie, that she spends a lot of time there. And that's how she, you know, spends time with Chris without her dad knowing, and Maya and Haley, because they all live in the same neighborhood, which you kind of don't see that in the movie. You never really know that Uncle Carlos kind of has a different social circle than in
but like the closest thing in the movie, it kind of gets streamlined a little, is like after the scene when, you know, when the King Lords like attack the house and they all leave, and then they go to Uncle Carlos's house, and you can see like just on the outside it looks like a big, you know, beautiful like suburban house that, you know, you can, you know, visually you can see it was like, okay, it doesn't look like a rundown, or so you can kind of assume it's a more affluent area. But yeah, a lot of that stuff and, you know, Star's experiences over there are much more pronounced in the book than in the movie.
Yeah, King puts a gray handkerchief on the coffin in the book to signify that, you know, Khalil was working for him and selling drugs, which we find out in that path, like we find out later, was never the case. And it was a power play because Khalil told him no. And he wanted to think that he worked for him. But that's never really fully developed in the movie. Like you kind of know, you think that Khalil works for him, but I don't know that you ever really get full a story that he doesn't want to work for King and, you know, why he was doing it. So I thought that was a little interesting. And then, you know, after the funeral, there's really in the book, there's no really standoff with the police, where there is a standoff in the funeral. And I think, you know, possibly they had to do that because you have to condense the riots into just a few scenes in the movie, right? Like you can't draw them out like in the book, like, you know, some of those riots were going on for days and days. And, you know, King and his family were protecting their house. And Mav. But you don't really get that in the movie, right? It's very condensed with the same kind of ultimate end. You know, Star is using the megaphone and is standing on top of the car talking about using her voice. So you get the same result at the end, but how you get there is very different.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I think I did enjoy the movie, but I do think actually this might be the first we've done so far where I think I enjoyed the book more so than the movie. But I did enjoy the movie, I think. I think it was very well done. A couple of things that really like stood out to me was like the character of Uncle Carlos, that I think like I like the dynamic between him and Star in the book a lot more. Like there's more back and forth with them. Like I really like the part in the book when he picks her up from school and then they go for yogurt. And, you know, in the movie they show him picking her up from school, but then he drops her off at her mom's work. So, and I think like they had that discussion over the yogurt, and I think, you know, presented a nice little moment with them. And
yeah, I agree. And I thought that in the movie, her friend Maya was not very sympathetic, right? Well, in the book, we find out that Maya also feels that she has been the kind of butt of some of Haley's racist jokes, as she calls them, or sayings, because Maya is Asian. And Maya and Star kind of make that alliance in the book, where in the movie, like, that never really happened.
No.
You know, you never get that. You don't get that Haley said racist things to Maya in the movie. So I felt like, but I feel like Haley was pretty true to what her character did in the movie and the book. And I think they kept her in the same vein, which was good. And I liked that they did that, because regardless of how Star or anyone tried to educate Haley, she wasn't changing her mind, right? And at the end, we see that they're not friends anymore. No, we see them at this lunch tables, and she's kind of gone with her own group at the end. And that signifies that, you know, they've never really made up, which I think is pretty true to the story in the book. You know, it's a little bit more developed that, you know, Star really makes a conscious decision that they're just not on this wavelength. And no matter what she tries to educate or share, or Haley's never going to see it from any other standpoint than her own.
Yeah. I don't know if this is intentional, but I think like what I kind of took from it, and I think that the movie did do, this is what I took from it, that the movie did do a good job here, is like with like taking out that alliance between Star and Maya, kind of presented maybe like a little of an allegory, how like Haley is, you know, very, you know, she's very mean to Star and says some awful things. And then Maya kind of just stands in the background, like doesn't, you know, they don't form that alliance, and kind of just doesn't want to get involved which could be, you know, which could kind of present, you know, the several like issues of that like a lot of things issues persist because people don't want to get involved with that. So it kind of represents, you know, things in a microcosm there. That's just what I took from it in the movie. Then.
When we kind of talk about moving, when the family wants to move, in the movie, they never move, right? Like Mav is like, oh, this is our town, this is our community, this is where we're staying, this is what we're doing. But in the book, they do move. And it's kind of a very hard decision for them because he wants to still help his community, but keep his family safe. So he has a store. And how do they contribute to, you know, growing the community and contributing, but not living, but protecting his family. So in the book, they do move, where in the movie, they kind of never have that come to fruition.
Yeah, it's discussed at length in the movie that, you know, about moving, but never happens. And I do wonder, is that like some kind of like Hollywood magic sort of, because like that kind of happy ending and it's like, oh, like given the hope that this, you know, community can come together. And I don't want to sound like too bleak, but you wonder, like, is that exactly true to form? Like, will that community ever come together? Will, like, they envision it having that, you know, maybe the book presents it a little more realistic and sounds like, you know, there's no hope and we have to get out of here, which, you know, as awful as it sounds, there may be
a little bit more of a dilemma for them in the book. You know, we want to have our story part of this community, but I need to keep my family safe. And, you know, I think for me, one of the biggest changes was at the end of the book that in the movie that are drastically different, right? Like, I love the character of Sakani, the little brother. I think his relationship with the sister, with Star, with Seven are just adorable. He's like this cherished little boy that they all love. And he like brings levity to the house. And, you know, like I really love his character. And when I had not finished reading the book and was watching the movie and saw that at the end of the movie, he has the gun that was the dad's gun and he's holding it between Mav and King. And then the cops run up and point the gun at little Sakani. You know, that obviously, I think cinematically, that's a big moment because you're not sure what's going to happen. Like you think, oh, I hope they don't shoot Sakani, right? And you're kind of holding your breath. But in the book, like that never happened, you know? And I don't know if you call it anticlimactic, but at the end, the community all kind of stands up against King and says that he's responsible for the fire. He's responsible for this. And their policemen arrest him. After all, the community kind of stands up and says he does this. It's not this, you know, it's a big moment because the community is afraid of him. And to stand up to King, who's leading the gang, is huge, but it's not as cinematically probably as the little boy having the gun.
Yeah, because it's like in the movie, it does say like at the end, you know, with Star like narrating like what, you know, the voiceover would have, you know, what has happened. And it does show King getting, you know, being let out in handcuffs, but doesn't, you know, not so much depth as in the book. And I remember like in watching the film and seeing that scene, like when the Sakani with the gun and then when the cops pull up, it's like your heart sinks and you're thinking, you know, and I'm thinking the worst because I actually watched the movie before I got done reading the book. So I hadn't gotten to that part yet. And I was like, oh no, what's going on? You know, what's going to happen here? But when I was reading about it, they said that change was like more to kind of present a more like momentous occasion with, because as far as the title goes, The Hate You Give.
I hate you. Give little infants fucks everybody is what they're saying. You know, that's, I think the reference is to Tupac. And I think having Sakani, the little boy with a gun, is definitely more in your face of that statement than everybody standing up against King. Although you see that thug life reference throughout the book, because you know that's what happens with Khalil and Devante, and you know it's systemic on how that cycle works. You know, and I think at the end, you know, Star talks about like we have to break the cycle, and she stands between Sakani and the police and her dad and King. And I think I could see why they did that in the movie. It really drives home that point.
Yeah, it kind of like presents it, like kind of shows like this is what, you know, actions, you know, the actions speak volumes. And it's very, you know, it's a powerful part.
You know, when the movie opens with Mav telling his children how you act when the cops pull you over and what to do. And we hear that in the book. We maybe hear it in a different area. The book doesn't generally open with that, but we know it's there. We know the conversation's being had throughout. And, you know, I think the other, you know, in the in the book, we see how kind of the dialogue changes, because Star talks about how she's one person at Williamson and she's another person at home. And, you know, when you read some of the, you know, when you are looking at some of the bias and the diversity out there and you hear about this, you know, I think the word for that is code switching, that you're one person with one group of friends and you're another person somewhere else. And I thought she did a really good job of explaining that in the book. And you could see that. And you see the same thing. And you hear that more of as an internal dialogue in Star's head in the movie, how she, you know, is trying to reconcile these two people and just wants to be one person, which is herself.
Yeah, very true. I said, there was one thing, like another thing that I thought that the movie did a little better. There was the scene where they come back from prom and they're going to introduce Chris to Star's father. And this Seven is kind of like briefing him on, you know, foods and, you know, the foods that they eat or something. And it's kind of this like kind of funny scene of that. And I noticed that in reading the book that happens like later on. And it was like kind of like right like after, like, you know, after the office, when they decided not to file charges against the officer and the, like, you know, riots have started breaking out and that it kind of like, it seemed awkwardly placed in there. I think putting that part right after the prom, I think made a lot more sense there. So,
And I think you're right. It did feel more like kind of organic in the movie.
Yeah. But overall I did, you know, I did like both of them I think the book did a little better job, but
not. I think it's a great book, and I'm kind of shocked that it's on a banned books list, because I think there's, you know, I don't think it's all that. I mean, yes, it's a hard topic, right? And there is some language, but I don't think it's something that rises it to the level of we shouldn't let children read this, right? Like, this was a book I would encourage my kids to read. And I'm glad our school has it on the list still, and that it's not on the list. I think it's an important book for people to read.
You know, yeah, like it's important, you know, like a lot of parents, you know, don't, you know, want their children, you know, exposed to certain things. But like at some point, you know, kids can be given like a lot more credit and they can handle a lot of things. And I think, yeah, I think it's appropriate. And this is a book that, you know, kids should be able to read. So
we'll be back next week. And Donnie, thank you so much for sharing this conversation today. And everyone, keep reading.
And keep watching.